one to come or one to stay home. So glad that you've come, and certainly it is our prayer that the Lord will bless each of us as we are here. We've been looking at this man named Elijah. He has already proven God's ability and power both to provide and to guide. And I trust that we've learned some lessons from his life in this regard. In preparing his servant, the Lord, we noticed this morning, took him to the brook Cherith, meaning cutting. He took him to a place of separation. Interesting, wasn't it, that the Lord told him to go and hide there. He knew his servant needed to have that experience of being alone with himself. He was separated from God, and there we learned the plan of God, the provisions of God, and the purposes of God within the life of a man named Elijah. And I pray that these will be seen in our lives as well. This evening, I'd like to consider with you a destitute widow and a sovereign God. And to do that, we must turn to the 17th chapter again of 1 Kings, and we'll read in at verse 7. Just before we begin our reading, let me mention that there are two books in the foyer that you might be interested. Leslie Rainey's book, The Amen God, a number of his writings, and then part of his life story. You'll be blessed by it. This book of gospel stories entitled Thundering Waters, Stories from the Niagara River. The word Niagara, incidentally, is an Indian word, and it means thundering waters. So there are a number of gospel applications which you may find helpful as you witness for Christ both within and without the family. We read now from 1 Corinthians chapter 17 and verse 7. Thank you very much. I wanted to see if you'd notice. So that was very... Thank you, Brother Ernie. 1 Kings 17 and verse 7. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there was no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, Elijah, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said. But make me therefore a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went, and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. Let's pray together. Father, We're so thankful for a faithful, sovereign God. And Father, we just pray that for these next few minutes, you will shut each one of us into yourself, even the legitimate concerns of life. May they be forgotten as we learn from thee the ways and the will of God. This we pray in our Savior's precious name. Amen. A destitute widow and a sovereign God. Thanks be to God, He is sovereign, and He meets the needs of those who go through the experience that this dear woman found herself facing. I'd like to think of our passage under four headings this evening. I'd like to think about a disappearing brook, and then a desperate widow, the demands of the prophet, and finally, the declaration of the prophet. First, a disappearing brook. You noticed it, I'm sure, in verse 7. And it came to pass, after a while, what happened? The brook dried up. Ever had the brook dry up? I'm sure you have. That on which the prophet was dependent had dried up. And as we live our lives, such is often the case. The brook on which we're depending may be of employment, the brook of health, the brook of a friendship or relationship, a loved one, whatever. And it dries up. Before we realize it, that on which we had placed so much reliance is gone. This was Elijah. The brook dried up. The God who had provided the brook had ordained it would be so. He removed it. You see, the brook had served its purpose. Elijah, under the command of God, had gone to Cherith, and he'd been blessed there, as we noted this morning. He drank from that brook. He was refreshed by that brook. And it was there at the brook, wasn't it, that God, in his own great and wonderful ways, brought the ravens in flight to provide for the needs, the physical needs of his servant. But the God who had provided it, dried it up. You see, Elijah would experience the same kind of problems as the people of his day. Sometimes there are those that would like to suggest that we as believers live in a totally different realm. We don't have the problems of the unconverted. But beloved, we live in exactly the same world. And in the permissive will of God, we go through the same difficulties as many in the world experience. We are not immune. He maketh, the word of God tells us, the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and he sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Thanks be to God, however. As believers, we go through these experiences, but we do so with our hand safe in the hand of God. There used to hang on the wall of our doctor's office, I thought, a very simple but beautiful picture. It was the strong, masculine hand of a father. And all you could see in that picture was his hand and a soft, pink hand of a child held firmly there. And under that picture were these words, "Thank you, God, for Father's hand." Thank God for our Father's hand. And so that when you and I go through the problems and difficulties of life, there is one there to care, to keep, and to guide. I love Mark chapter 4, don't you? You remember, there's a little boat. just set off from the shore. There were other little ships there. And they too were sailing for the distant shore. It wasn't long before that glassy sea turned turbulent with a fast-flowing wind. And it was there that the disciples were led to call on that occasion. As that boat rose from crest and dropped the trough, they woke him, the one, the master of ocean and sea and sky, asleep on the sternman's pillow at the back of the boat. And they wake him and they say, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" Did he not care? He came to die for those men. He most assuredly did. And he spoke to the elements and said, "Peace be still." And immediately there was a great calm. They said, "What manner of man is this? Why, even the wind and the waves obey him." I like another rendering of that verse. Puts it this way. "From what country has this man come that even the wind and the waves obey him?" From what country? The country called heaven. And he came down to planet Earth to die for these men, to make them his own, and he would care for them. Yes, all on that lake that day experienced the storm and the tempest. But those in that boat had the comfort and the assurance that he would keep them. And when they called him, he responded, "Beloved, aren't you glad the Lord's in the boat? I most certainly am." And there are times in the life of each of us, I am confident, when we have had to ask, "Oh Lord, don't you care?" As we pass through the same kinds of problems and difficulties, of disease, of death, of family trouble, a troubled economy, and all that those in the world experience, "Lord, I'm so thankful. I've got you in the boat." And so, this was the experience of Elijah. The brook dried up. But the God who had brought him to the brook would lead him in the next step in his service for God. And what did he do? Took the servant aside and said to him, "Now, Elijah wants you to go to Zarephath, and there's a widow there who's going to sustain or look after you." I mentioned this morning I enjoy Bible names and their meanings, and such is the case as far as Zarephath is concerned. You see, the man who knew what it was to experience separation was going to Zarephath, which means refining. God was going to work on him. And those that he would minister to, he was going to strengthen and he was going to bless. God had a purpose in drying up that brook. And God has a purpose in bringing you and me through those experiences. Why? That he might take us on the next step, possibly to Zarephath. And there he might refine us in his service. "Whom the Lord loveth," the Hebrew writer said, "he chastens. He guides, he directs, he disciplines as the need may arise." I love the words of the beloved Peter as he writes to those dear saints scattered throughout Asia Minor. Did they know what it was to suffer? They most assuredly did. And when Peter, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, wrote that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved, God has his plan and God has his purpose. We will only know when we're safe in the glory. But he wanted to refine his servant and make for him a better man that would be more valuable in his service. And so, God would refine him at the place called Zarephath. God has a purpose, I repeat. You remember the experience of John chapter 11? Mary and Martha are brokenhearted. They send the message to the Lord, "He whom thou lovest is sick." And the Lord is encouraged to come to the little home in Bethany that he might minister to Lazarus and cause him to know good health once again. But you know the story. It's after the death of Lazarus, the Savior has arrived. Dear Martha, I love Martha. She's so open, isn't she? She looks at him and says, "Master, if you'd only been here, my brother had not died." "Oh," says the Lord, "Martha, he's going to rise again." Earlier in the chapter, he could say why this experience was, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son might be glorified thereby. God had a purpose in permitting Lazarus to die, that in turn glory might be brought to him. And in taking his servant from Cherith to Zarephath, he had a purpose, that he might accomplish that purpose. And you and I, living close to 3,000 years later, might be blessed and encouraged. You remember what the Lord Jesus said? And so often these words, I am confident, have come clear and fresh to your mind as they have to mine. John 13, verse 7. "That which I do now, thou knowest not, but," thank God for the conjunctions of Scripture, "but thou shalt know hereafter." And in retrospect, we look back and we see how God has led and God has blessed. A disappearing brook, and it disappeared for a purpose. But then notice the desperation of the widow in verse 9. "Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded or appointed a widow woman there to sustain thee." I often wonder what Elijah must have thought when he got that message from the Lord. Here he is down, sitting at a dried up brook. The Lord says, "Now, it's Zarephath, Elijah, and I've commanded a widow woman to look after you." Wonder what he thought. "I wonder if she's got a lovely little cottage with a white picket fence. Maybe her husband's passed away and left her very secure. And she's sitting back in the rocker just clipping the coupons. Boy, this sounds great. Leave it to God to look after me just the way he has, even here at Zarephath." I don't know whether he thought that. He may have. But anyway, off he goes at the bidding of the Lord. And he went, no doubt wondering what God was doing. But what? What a surprise awaited him. A poor widow. A poor widow indeed. As he arrives, God points out to him that that's the widow that I've appointed to care for you. He learns that she is very little, if anything. She's nothing, really. She has a son. She informs Elijah that she's just about to gather a couple of sticks, make a little fire, take this small remaining portion of meal, make a little cake, and she and her son will eat it. Then that will be it. They will die. But Elijah had been sent to her at the appointment of God, and regardless of her resources, she would meet the needs of the man of God. Gospel according to Luke chapter 4 tells us that there were many widows in Israel, but Elijah was sent to a Gentile woman in Sidon. Boy, what a situation. Look at the widow. What has she lost? She's lost her husband. She has lost her income. And she's lost her future. And Elijah looks at her, and I wonder if he looked heavenward and said, Lord, do you really know what you're doing? You're sure this is where you want me? And as we learn, it certainly was. The prospect of death was for her and her son. Now as she has come to the end of her resources, what will happen? One is reminded of the words of the psalmist when in 34 and verse 6, he said, and this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. I'm sure if we had a testimony meeting tonight, there are those who would rise and say, yes, I was that poor man. I cried, and the Lord heard me. You maybe heard about the elderly man who was sitting in the testimony meeting, and when the chairman asked for favorite verses, he rose and gave his. His favorite text, and it came to pass. Period. Thank God for every experience of God, trying and difficult though they might have been, and yet they came and they passed, and we knew God was in the experience and blessing. Again, the psalmist says in 84 and verse 11, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Why? Because God cares for his own beloved. But I want you to notice the words of this dear woman. Verse 12. He has said, I pray thee. Let's go to verse 11. And as she was going to fetch that drink of water, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little of oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son that we may eat it and die. Elijah said unto her, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me therefore a little cake first. Did you notice what she said in verse 12? To me it suggests that this woman might have been a believer. I'd like to take that from the fact that she knew Elijah's God lives. As thy God liveth. And she had confidence in this fact. Elijah's God knew all about her. Her each and every desperate need. Elijah might have wondered how she could take care of him. Why she couldn't even take care of herself. That's true, she couldn't. But her God could. And she had confidence that Elijah's God was alive and he would meet her every need. And in this, Elijah had confidence and he says, go and make me a little cake first. And so on. How thankful you and I should be tonight that our God still lives. To solve our problems, to meet our needs, regardless of the way in which he leads and takes us. Well, might Paul write to the Roman saints in that beautiful verse of 8 and 28 to say, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. Was that the case in the life of a widow? A destitute widow? And Elijah, the prophet of the sovereign God, it most certainly was. And so, notice now, again in verse 12, and what we have here. Although a believer, is it possible she had lost her hope? She said, we're going to eat, and we're going to die. That will be the end of it. Life will be over. Why did she lose hope? I want to suggest, beloved, that she lost hope because her eye was on the bottom of a barrel rather than on the omnipotent God of the skies. What an experience. My God, said Paul, writing to the Philippians, My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I'm confident that some of you here know our dear brother Ben Sutton, a man of God, a man whose ministry is rich and precious. In the early years of serving the Lord in the UK, Ben and Sarah were down to nothing but nothing. The night was cold. They had one child they'd safely, warmly tucked into bed, and the fire was going out. He took an old pair of boots and he threw them in. And when they had been completely burned, he went out to the coal shed and he scraped the dust off the walls, brought in what he gathered, threw it in the fire. They sat down together and they cried. And there's a knock at the door. He opened it and recognized the caller as a brother in the assembly. He said, "Ben, brother so-and-so," calling him by name, "for whom he worked, has just told me that a man ordered this wagon load of coal and found he didn't need it. And now he wants to know if you can use it. Could he use it?" He most assuredly could. What had happened? God, I believe, in heaven had heard the scrapings as they fell off the coal shed that day or that night. God met his need. Beloved, sadly this dear woman had her eye on the bottom of the barrel, I repeat, rather than on the God of the universe. What did the psalmist say? You know the words. 23. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." Beloved, he still meets the needs of his people. We mean too much to him to have it otherwise. He wants to care for, he wants to keep, he wants to bless. Remember, Luke chapter 12 and verse 4, we read these words. "Consider the ravens. For neither do they sow nor reap, which neither have storehouses nor barns, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls?" Years ago, when Canada, the middle part of Canada, the prairies were being opened to commerce and to Christianity, God sent from the United Kingdom a man to preach his gospel. The man's name was Raven. He toiled faithfully for years and then returned home. Interestingly, the man who was sent to replace him was a man by the name of Heron. Mr. Heron found the going difficult, hard, and he wondered if he was in the place God wanted him. One day he sat down, and with a heavy heart, he penned a note back to Mr. Raven. And he told him of all the difficulties that he was experiencing. He got back a very short note, and all it said, "My dear brother, remember, the God who met the needs of the ravens will meet the needs of the herons too." That's the kind of a God we have. He does, beloved. He meets your need and he meets mine. But then there were the demands of the prophet, as we have them in verse 13. "Go and do as thou hast said, but make me a little cake first." Elijah had proven the faithfulness of his great God at a babbling brook, and he would do so once again. And he could thank God for past experiences and past blessings. And I'm confident that there are those in this company, and you, like I, can look back over life. You can say, you know, as we face this difficulty, We looked from this vantage point back a few years, and God had met our need here. And that gave us faith and confidence for this experience. And so Elijah, along with this dear woman, this dear widow, facing the problem, he says, "Why, you go, you make me a little cake first." And he is going to prove again the faithfulness of God. You know, I love that little statement. "You make me a little cake first." That suggests to me she's going to have the opportunity of making other cakes. Make me a cake first, and then you'll be able to make some other cakes for yourself and your son. And so, with confidence in God, he moves forward. Notice verse 18, as she said, "And she said unto Elijah, What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God?" We'll look at that verse tomorrow. But she recognized, and this is the point, she recognized Elijah was a man of God. And if he was a man of God, then she was prepared to listen to him, and she was prepared to obey the word of God that had been delivered to her by the man of God. Fear not. No need for you to fear. Just obey. Make me that little cake first. What is she going to do when she makes that cake? She is going to place God first. She would meet the needs of the man of God. And as she did, she met and obeyed God. And I believe, beloved, it is as you and I put God first in our lives that God meets our needs according to his divine plan and purpose. Are we prepared to put God first in devotion, in service, in finances, whatever it might be, to serve him well who gave us his all? Make me a little cake first. Then you'll see the blessing of God. And she did exactly that. But finally, there is the declaration of the prophet in verse 14. "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel," as he speaks to her, "the barrel of meal shall not waste." What a comfort them. I'm sure she wondered, "Look, Elijah, you got the wires crossed. That thing's empty." But he says, "No. You just make me that cake first, and the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse or the jar of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the land." His God was great. His God was prepared to meet their need. The need of a widow, the need of her son, and himself. If only she would do as he has asked. God wanted to meet her need. And what does he say? Why, it won't fail. The barrel of meal won't be wasted, nor the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord. What confidence then could be placed in such a God? But you'll notice, going back to our verse 14, it appears it's terminal. God's provision. "Neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain." She had the assurance that God would provide until the rains came again. And this was the man, you remember, who stood before Ahab and said, "No rain, Ahab, until I say so, under the direction of our God." So the day when God's blessing would be experienced was a day that lay just in the future, in the plan of the omniscient God. Beloved, God provided for his people 40 years in the wilderness. And what happened? I read in my Bible, Joshua chapter 5 and verse 12. "And the manna ceased on the morrow, after they had eaten of the old corn of the land, neither had the children of Israel manna any more, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year." Don't you get the picture? Isn't it beautiful? Here they were in that wilderness waste, desperately needing water from the smitten rock, desperately needing food. And he rained down from heaven the manna and the quail, and they came at the appointed time every day. Until when? Till they entered into the land. And then it stopped. And what does Elijah say? It's just until the day. And then when the rains come, God will bless in another way. Beloved, you and I are looking forward to the day. And our God is going to meet our every need. He's going to provide every need until the day. The day of the shout. And he's going to rapture us into his presence. And we'll rise to meet our beloved Lord in the sky. And then onward and upward to glory. What a day that will be. The day is going to come when our Father in heaven, I believe, will turn to his Son and say, Son, call them home. And he will cry in the words of Solomon's beautiful song, rise up, my love, my fair ones, and come away. And those who have gone to their rest, bodies in the grave, will be summoned to the sky, and we with them will go in to meet our beloved Lord. When will it be? The day when that day dawns, and our God will provide for our every need until the day. We have no need then for the barrel of meal, for the cruse of oil, for all the things of a material, temporal nature. There'll be no further need for them. The day will arrive, have arrived, and we will be with our beloved Lord and there for all of eternity. In the goodness of God, he cared for them until the day. And his care was terminal. Beloved, this could be the day. Wouldn't it be good? Wouldn't it be wonderful to go to heaven from Park of the Palms? For the enjoyment of heaven here on earth, to go into his own immediate presence, to see and to spend eternity with the one who died for us. What will it be like when for the very first time we view the man who still bears on his precious brow the marks of Calvary's thorns, when his hand is outraised to welcome, and we view there the wound of the nails still fresh and indelible, a wound that eternity will never erase. We'll realize home at last. Home with the brethren and sisters that we've known and those we've never known. But above all other things, home with the Lord. Oh, the blessed, blessed hope of the appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He'll provide. Oh, let this burn itself into your brain. Until the day. And the day could be today. Let's pray it will be. Loving Holy Father, thank you so very much for the privilege of being together here at the park with the beloved of the Lord. We earnestly pray that your rich presence and blessing will rest upon this hour. May each blood-bought child of God experience the nearness and the comfort of the one who refines and blesses, the one who said, it's just until the day. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.